and welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm excited about the show today, Mark. It's packed full with celebration as we are celebrating Father's Day week here in June. Lots to come up for you. Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the show too. I've seen the movie that we're going to talk about, and it's a fantastic film.
We have an award-winning filmmaker joining us today as we are celebrating fathers all over the world, as well as an expert on the issue of fathering and the challenges and the celebrations that are associated with fatherhood. All that coming up in this hour here on An Organic Conversation.
I'm looking forward to having Dana and Tim on. But first, why don't we kick off our show with the latest green news? Helge, what do you have for us?
Orlando, Florida. Activists arrested for feeding homeless in defiance of city ordinance. Over the past week, 12 members of food activist group Food Not Bombs have been arrested in Orlando for giving free food to groups of homeless people in a downtown park. They were acting in defiance of a controversial city ordinance that mandates permits for groups distributing food to large groups in parks with 2 miles of City Hall. Food Not Bombs has exceeded the limit of the number of permits allowed per year. Orlando Food Not Bombs maintains that the restrictions are unconstitutional and unjust. They have said they plan to continue feeding the homeless despite the arrests, reports the Huffington Post. California State Assembly passes shark fin ban. According to change.org, struggling sharks may finally be swimming towards some safer waters. The California State Assembly passed AB 376 with a final vote of 65-8. The bill, which bans the purchase, sale, and possession of shark fins, is now heading for a vote in the Senate this June. California's proposed shark fin ban comes at a moment, not a moment too soon. Sharks' existence is precarious at best. More than 70 million sharks are killed every year through finning, a cruel practice where fishermen cut off shark fins and tails and throw the fish back into the water to suffocate or starve to death. Some species of shark have declined as much as 90% in recent years, largely due to finning perpetuated by the growing demand for shark fin soup. AB 376 has passed the Assembly vote with flying colors, but there's still more work to be done. The bill will head to the Senate in June, so it's important that we keep up the pressure. If you think the oceans need sharks more than people need shark fin soup, sign the Alliance Petition APA asking California lawmakers to support AB 376. The petition can be found at change.org. And that was this week's news headlines. Coming up here on An Organic Conversation, award-winning filmmaker Dana Glaser and his wonderful movie that just came out on fathering and the role of being a father for his family. More on that, including What's in Season with Mark Mulcahy when we come back. Stay tuned. Don't go away right after this short break.
Two of us riding nowhere, spending someone's Father's Day. You and me Sunday driving, not arriving. Sending postcards, writing letters on my wall. You and me burning matches.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And again, today we're celebrating fathers.
Yay!
It's Father's Day week here on An Organic Conversation. We have award-winning filmmaker Dana Glaser joining us in a few minutes, but first, here's Mark Mulcahy with What's in Season.
Yes, What's in Season? It's organic nectarines. Yay! Ooh. I think everybody loves nectarines. And it, for me, it's a real sign that summer is actually here when nectarine starts showing up in the store. Now, the word nectarine means sweet, as you could probably tell. So sweet is nectar. And that, so it's very likely that that's where the name came from. And many of you may wonder if a nectarine is a fuzzless peach or if it's a hybrid. Well, actually, it's neither. While it is a close relative to the peach that originated in China over 2,000 years ago, many historians believe that the nectarine actually predates the peach, which was a big surprise to me. So how did they get here? We can thank the Spanish for that, for introducing the United States. And while other states grow nectarines, 95% of the nectarines in the United States are grown in California. And amazingly, there are over 150 commercially grown varieties of nectarines. I don't think I've even tasted probably half of them. So I'm looking forward to that challenge. So what you probably are wondering is, how do you choose them? Well, the best way to choose nectarines is look for a smooth red-colored skin, which are fragrant and that give it slightly to the touch. But you want to handle them with care because they bruise really easy and will lead to quicker breakdown when you get them home. Another key thing with nectarines is how to store them. And it's very important that you do this correctly because nobody likes mushy nectarines. So after they are ripe, if you get them home and they're already soft and they already smell, you can put your nectarines in the crisper of the refrigerator and they'll last for a week, but it's only if they're ripe. If you bring them home firm, they will ripen in 2 to 3 days at room temperature. And if you just can't wait 2 to 3 days, then you can put them in a brown bag and store them at room temperature alone with an apple or a banana and allow their natural ethylene gas to ripen them. They could ripen in 1 to 2 days if you do this, but you got to keep an eye on them. You got to keep poking your eye into that bag and making sure that they're doing okay and not ripening too quick. And nectarines are great for you. They're a powerful source of antioxidants, which fight free radicals and can help your body convert vitamin A. They're a great source of bioflavonoids, probably as you could tell from the red color. And they're a great source of potassium and fiber. So, you know, eat as many as you possibly can. And one last thing about nectarines is you might be wondering, well, do I need to buy them organic? I would consider that because nectarines often test high in pesticide residues and are among the top 20 of the Environmental Working Group's pesticide residue list, which is taken from the USDA's own pesticide reporting. So that's what's in season today. It's nectarines. Go out and buy a big bag and let that juice drip down your chin.
And that was Mark Mulcahy here on An Organic Conversation with What's in Season. What's in Season is proudly brought to you by Earl's Organic Produce. Mark, interesting facts about the nectarines, and you just mentioned the organic part of that. The annual pesticide data program just released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, Agricultural Marketing Service, shows significant differences in pesticides actually in residue levels measured on organic fruits and vegetables compared with their chemically grown counterparts. As to be expected, organic fruits and vegetables, on a whole, have far fewer levels of pesticide residues than conventionally grown produce, according to USDA. And also, in addition to not allowing the use of toxic and persistent pesticides when growing organic fruits and vegetables, organic producers also must comply with all U.S. food safety standards, of course, and other food regulations, as well as the exacting standards of USDA's National Organic Program. And as a result, as recently as last week, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration acknowledged that organic food is no more susceptible to foodborne pathogens than conventional produce. Hmm. Just as a little add-on to your What's in Season. Great. Thank you for that. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us now, we're celebrating Father's Day. With us now, calling in from New Jersey, is Dana Glaser, an award-winning filmmaker who just released a wonderful new documentary on fathering. Dana, are you with us?
I am, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's such a pleasure. Dana, we are celebrating Father's Day week, and how timely your documentary just was published, just came out in the beginning of May, a month ago. Tell us about the documentary. What's the story of the film? What are you describing in your movie?
Well, it's a it was a 3-year odyssey to make the film, and it's basically the film explores how the role of fatherhood has changed and where it's going. And what I tried to do was get some of the most provocative and inspiring stories about dads in the United States that I could find, and to really promote the conversation about fatherhood, which is something that I think is extremely important.
So, Dana, can you tell us some of the things that you came up with? How has it changed?
Oh, it's changed immensely. I mean, I think that if 30 years ago, if a father was asked, change the diaper, that idea in itself was kind of not me. I'm the father. Now it's most dads. That's just a given. So things definitely are changing. They never change quite as quickly as one would like. That's why it's called the evolution of dad, not the revolution of dad, although I'm certainly rather it be a revolution.
Yes, great new documentary, The Evolution of Dad. And you have focused in that documentary on your own family as well as others. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
How difficult was it to film your own story, to film and be filmed at the same time, to be object in your own movie?
It was a little paradoxical in the sense that if I spent too much time behind the camera focusing on the movie, I became less of a father. So it was a little bit of checks and balances in this. It was a bit of a minefield, but it was, certainly worth the experience. And my wife was extremely supportive of this endeavor, which I'm very grateful for. I have to be honest with you, I didn't initially think that I was going to be in the film. But ultimately, what I realized was that to really make it, to glue it all together, it was important to have that, and so that's why I did. I was going to have a third person narrator do this, but then it's just not going to be as personal.
With us is Dana Glazer, award winning filmmaker and the creator of a new documentary, The Evolution of Dad, looking at the relationship of fathers and fathers and sons and fathers and daughters. Dana, watching the movie, I couldn't help but thinking that the celebration of dad is not it's as much a challenge as the role of dad. We have we're celebrating Father's Day this week, and it's such a beautiful time to acknowledge fathers for everything they do and the two or three or four roles they play, often from breadwinner to being a mentor for the kids. Describe the challenges you are documenting in your film and the ones you experience in your own life around that.
I think first off, let me say that, Father's Day, from my perspective, I think that, celebrating fatherhood is extremely important. At the same time, I think that it should be a day of reflection for fathers, to sort of look at their role and say, am I being the father that I want to be? Is there other things that I can be doing to change that? But to answer your question, there are so many different issues that relate around fatherhood in terms of how we as a culture look at dads and as men see the role, how women see the role.
What's the issue there? Describe that a little.
Well, what it boils down to is an ethos that your value as a father is your wallet size. And that's something that's gone on for many, many years, dating back to the Industrial Revolution. And it's while it's important, obviously, for a father to have that part of his role, if it dominates everything, then you run into trouble. And then you have a lot of families, a lot of kids who say, I didn't know my father. He was never around. He was always at work. We don't have much of a relationship. And this is very detrimental to a lot of kids, and it leads to a lot of problems that could have been avoided.
And on the phone with us, Dana Glazer, award-winning filmmaker and the creator of a new documentary, The Evolution of Dad, joining us from New Jersey today here on An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And so, Dana, are you saying that the size of the wallet, is that more an industrial nation challenge? Do you have experience in other cultures where it's less dependent on the income, on the role of the breadwinner?
Well, you know, living in the United States, so much of how we view things is based on capitalism. We are the capitalist leader of the world. Everything about us around is about money. You know, we don't look at movies as how good they are; it's how much they gross. So there is a value in money, and obviously we need money. You know, you need money to money makes things go. We need money to do things. But at the same time, if it becomes all about money and all about making as much money as we can to the detriment of other things, then yeah. And in terms of other countries, you know, there's a degree of balance in
yes.
terms of, you know, how other countries support families, support fathers, that's really lacking in our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to be linked really with that understanding of the economic side again, at least to some degree, if you go to less or more developed countries, however you want to see that, but to countries outside of the Western world where economy really drives almost everything, there's a different relationship to money, and with that, a different relationship to family that is often being observed.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Go ahead, Dana. I'm sorry.
The government in many countries, I mean, there are more policies and more support for families, for dads, than in our country.
And Dana, I have two daughters, a 21 and 24-year-old, and I remember when they were born, my wife and I decided that we were going to consciously have someone stay at home. It was she and I was the so-called breadwinner. And that was a challenge in its own right, because that meant instead of a double income, it was a single income. But we did do it by choice, and we had less, but it meant that we could have the parenting done the way that we chose. But I can tell you as a father that it was a bit of a struggle, because I felt like there were things that I missed because of the pressure of always having to try to, you know, fill the whole income
sure.
coffer for the home.
So then what's the answer, Dana? What is the how can we do it? How can we do it both? What have you found? What's the way that you are describing in your documentary where you found, yes, there is a middle way, there's a different way of doing it? What have you discovered?
Well, the alternatives, and there have been a number of people who I covered in the film that sort of that have gone this way. There are people who do what we would call equally shared parenting, and that's a movement that was started by a couple that's in Massachusetts that I include in the film. And basically their idea is that they share both home work and family equally. They both work 35 to 40 hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
And they share it, you know, down the line. I don't know, you know, that's where that works for everybody, you know, but it works for them, and it's an interesting idea. Another dad that's in the film, he's a divorced dad. And in order to maintain his relationship with his kids, he's a lawyer, and he agreed to working 3 days a week at work, 1 day a week at home, and 1 day a week off. And, you know, this was a real awakening for him. And he has really benefited from it. And it's changed his life. He feels so much more fulfilled as a result of this. I don't think that, I mean, I'm not sure whether his divorce, if it hadn't happened, whether these things would have come into play. But the fact that they did, I mean, that's the thing, is that you get dads, and they if they're open to it, they're open to the idea.
Yes, and we want to hear more of what you've discovered in your film, what you've seen, and what you personally experienced by kind of changing the status quo that is assumed, and how it's changing really throughout the country in one way or another, and definitely more awareness on fathering as we are celebrating Father's Day week, which you so beautifully said just a minute ago, is as much about celebrating fathers as it is the time for a dad to contemplate his role within the family and really the joy of being a father and how that space can be created. With us on the phone from New Jersey is Dana Glaser, award-winning filmmaker with his new documentary, The Evolution of Dad. Dana, stay tuned. We'll take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on that topic.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at UrbanRemedy.com. That's UrbanRemedy.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about celebrating fathers. It's Father's Day week. And with us and the show is New Jersey award-winning filmmaker Dana Glaser. Dana, thanks again for being part of it.
Thank you.
We wanted to dive in more into the celebration of being a dad. It seems like over the last 30, 40, maybe 50 years even, the role of dad has been better understood, and with it, the joy of actually being a father. And that, you know, if you don't spend time with your kids 20 years later, they go to college and you miss that really important time of their development. You have found a way of changing it for your life. What have you found and how have you done it?
Well, you know, I really make a conscious decision to spend as much time with my kids as possible. And it is a very fulfilling thing. I think that it's so important to be working, and that's not to negate that. But, you know, these years where they're young, they grow so quickly. And to miss those moments, it would be very sad. So I really make an effort to spend time to be with my three children as much as I can.
And how have you arranged that? How are you possible to do that?
Excellent question. Not easily.
No, because it's really the number one question in the room, in a way, right? Everyone, I think, agrees. It's yes, it's beautiful, and yes, there's the pressure. And if you take 15 years out of your professional career and kind of scale back, then you are, you know, 45, 50, 55, and the economic train has moved on meanwhile to some degree. So there's a price to pay either way. Obviously, you don't want to miss those years if that's in your awareness. But how do you do it?
I mean, you know, I wish I had the silver bullet answer for everybody. And if I did, then, you know.
Yes. You would be a wealthy man.
It'd be very interesting. Yes. I wish I had that. I don't. You know, I think that at the end of the day, life is about choices. It's about what we choose as important. We have a certain amount of time that we're here on this earth, and it's about what we decide to do with it. We can't do everything. It's not possible. I think that any time anybody's given the message, you can have it all, it's not right. It's incorrect. And, you know, sacrifices are going to be made. And, you know, it's not easy. But I think that that's, you know, that's where becoming a parent, when you become a parent, you know, life takes over to some extent, and if you hand that away, you know, it was interesting. I don't know if it was playing on the radio while during the commercial time, but there was the Cats in the Cradle song, and you know that's a
That was coincidence.
Okay, it was funny. I was like, oh look, the Cats in the Cradle song. But, you know, that's a song that a lot of people connect with, and
yes.
You know, there's a cliche of dads who say, you know, oh, I wish I'd spent more time with my family. And, you know, the purpose of my film is to be an awakener of that so that, you know, people don't fall into that cliche. But it is. I wish I had a silver bullet answer to say, well, you do this, you do that. I think that, you know, to be more specific, people, dads in particular, are fearful of their jobs and do not want to fall out of line when it comes to, you know, asking for parental leave, for example, when their child is born. And, you know, I think that the heroic thing is, in terms of standing up for your family, is to try to ask for those things, to be more demanding about those things. And if more people were more demanding about them, it would change things.
Yes, and the Cats in the Cradle song is just a great example how whatever we miss out on kind of will our role as a father, whether we are there or we are not, will be shaping that newborn life, right? Will be shaping the character and future and development of our children, sons or daughters, which is so beautifully described in that song, Cats in the Cradle. Yes, Mark.
And, you know, Dana, I chose a job where I was gone a lot, but I can tell you that just by being around my daughters and what you bring, just for fathers out there who are struggling with this, is it's what you bring when you are there. And I know my daughters have both told me that they can always count on me, that they feel like they got their sense of humor from me, that, you know, they know that they are loved by me. And even though I was on the road a lot during their younger life, so I think it's about what I think you described it perfectly, is that Father's Day is a day of reflection. For some of us, our job is our job, but we can choose how we are when we are actually at home and present with our families.
I think you're totally right. And let me just say right at this point in our conversation that, you know, the film is not just about stay-at-home dads or dads who, you know, are more extreme in terms of home, but it also is very inclusive of working dads and tries to celebrate that. And, you know, and I've in the film there are interviews with some fathers who, you know, for example, could have been gotten a better job in the city but decided to work closer to home so that they'd have a, you know, a shorter commute so that they would be able to be more at home, you know, more around their kids. I mean, there are definitely things that working dads are doing right now, and that, you know, and that they should be congratulated about. Dads are in the birthing room more than they have ever been. I mean, that's, for, you know, 30 years ago, you couldn't say that. My father was not allowed in the birthing room when I was born.
We're speaking with Dana Glaser, award-winning filmmaker and the creator of a new documentary, The Evolution of Dad. Dana, please stay on the phone with us. We'll come back and we want to hear more about the film, how to view it, where to get it, and a little bit more about your experience making it. But we are turning our attention now to from New Jersey all the way to Providence, up the coast. On the phone with us is now Timothy Dukes, an expert in the field of fathering and father-son relationships. Timothy, are you with us? Seems like we lost Timothy here. He might be coming back in a minute. Yes, Mark.
Well, I was just going to say that I love what Dana was talking about, that day of reflection, because we all make our choices. Your father, my father made their choices, and it does have an impact on us as children, but it also is, we always have the opportunity to reconnect with our dad.
Yes, that hit home for me too, choices in general. I mean, bringing it up with your children is a time that you can't get back, right? That's like the most dramatic in a way. It's your family, it's your offspring, it's coming out of your love, your relationship, and 20 years later, that chance is gone. There are choices we make where we regret 5 years later and we can kind of turn it around again. Childhood is one of those things that you can turn around. And joining us now from Providence on the East Coast is Timothy Dukes, expert in this field. Timothy, are you with us?
Yes, Helge. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you.
Timothy, we're celebrating Father's Day week. We're celebrating the role of the father. We just spoke with award-winning filmmaker Dana Glazer about his new documentary, The Evolution of Dad. And he's describing that the challenge of being a dad is really an economic one. Even though much has happened over the last 20, 30 years in our understanding of the father role, still the economic pressure of holding the family together financially is what's in the way of making time. Would you agree with that? Is that a Western nation challenge of creating fatherhood in the space around that, or is that a challenge all over the world?
I definitely agree that there's an economic component that challenges us fathers. I was interestingly working with a man this morning, and he described his experience as three bubbles. He had the family bubble, the work bubble, and the meaning of life bubble. And what was missing for him was an overreaching integrative factor. And though he's not conscious of it, that's the father. And for him, he's first generation Greek. The father didn't speak English. And the father was there physically. He was there economically, but he wasn't there emotionally or cognitively for this man. So he's fine economically. But what he finds is when he's building out that economic life for his family, three kids, he forgets himself, that meaning of life piece, and he puts a lot of stress on the family because he can't be around as much as he wants to.
You have a PhD in psychology, and you're focused in your work on fathering and what it means to be a father for the last decades. How important is that active role of the father, the real presence in everyday life for children in general? Can the mom be that role? Can the mom step in and be that, or what happens if 10 hours a day dad is not present, and on weekends, you get the chores done? But how important is that shaping of the child from a man's perspective, from the father role?
Yeah, mothers have to step in, I think, particularly if they're single parents and there's this patriarchal absence. And I think to some degree a mother can pick that piece up. She can pick it up during the day in the twilight hours between the day and when dad arrives, if there's a two-parent family. Absence of the father for children growing up is critical to their ability to learn how to connect. The father stands as a non-mother thing or object. For the male boy in particular, there are things he can't work out with the mother easily. They need to wrestle. They need to punch and fight and articulate certain things as they get older. And the mother is the mother. She carries a whole other functionality.
And mothers seem to have a different way of dealing with those challenges than that male role that the father would provide. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we are celebrating fathers during this Father's Day week here in the United States. On the phone with us, Timothy Dukes, PhD in psychology and expert in the field of fathering. Tim, the looking at the celebration of Father, it seems to be there's more and more focus, though, on that role. There's more and more acknowledgement that being gone 60, 70 weeks in the office a week is no longer working, neither for the Father nor for the family structure. There's so much good work done, including this documentary that we're discussing today. What have you seen in your work? Are you hopeful? Is that a true statement that much, much more attention is giving to this topic now than, let's say, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think it varies by culture inside of our society. There's so many different cultures. I think that there's one unifying thread, and that fathers are showing up. And a friend of mine, colleague, in his opinion, 99.9% of the job is showing up. But in order to do that, particularly for those men who are now fathers, who weren't fathered, they carry a wound. Yeah. And that's the... Go ahead, please.
No, finish up, but then I'll ask my question.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great.
They internalize the presence of absence. So there's something inside, and literally in their bellies, in their hearts, it's empty. It feels like something's missing. So when they're loving that child, picking up that baby, mirroring that baby with, you know, loving eyes, wrestling, feeding, changing, tucking in them in bed, there's also the presence of that child that they were when they were young and without a father. So what these men today are doing, which is so hopeful, is they're learning to balance this, what I call a primary ambivalence. It's a desire to be the best possible father they can be, but they also have to feel that wound of never being fathered.
But it's such a beautiful notion. What you're actually saying, or what I'm hearing, is that the moment you as a father step fully into being expressed as a father, you're actually healing the absence, the possible absence that you had in your life of not having a father as much around as you would like to have.
That's
had.
Right.
You're healing that wound.
That's right.
By stopping the cycle, basically, and showing up for your son or daughter.
And you know what our best teacher is for that wound, for healing that wound? And for learning how to be a loving father?
That would be you. No.
It would be our it would be our children.
Yes.
You know, they teach us, if we're willing to show up and we're willing to feel, and it takes a lot of courage.
Yes.
Because we have generational wounding for men today, but they're still doing the job.
And they can be so direct and brutal doing it.
Oh.
Mark, you had a comment.
Well, and Tim, listening to what you're saying is... the great thing, what I'm hearing in this conversation, is that we get to choose as fathers when, any day that we can choose to come and be present in our homes and with our children, whether we've not been present for 10 years or 20 years, as long as we're in each other's lives, we can choose any day to make that a conscious choice and to actually express our intimacy with our children and be vulnerable
yeah.
with them. In a way that can heal, and that we can all move on for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, the beauty of that comment, Mark, is that in the unconscious, that part of ourself that sort of we forget about, you know, there is no time. So I can work with men in their 70s, and in a moment, I will see that 5-year-old boy finally being recognized, and we can return to our fathering. Even if you're a grandfather, you can come back into your son's and your daughter's life and parent them. You can pick up functionality and care and consideration in relationship to your grandchildren. There is no time restriction on being a father.
Timothy.
And one last point, you start
yes.
over every day. Even if you're actively involved and you're totally on the job, there's no preparation for tomorrow because we can constantly change.
Joining us from Providence, Dr. Timothy Dukes, with a PhD in psychology and an expert in the field of fathering. Tim, if people want to follow your work, how can they find you?
Oh, great. Thank you. It's on drtimothydukes.com. drtimothydukes.com.
drtimothydukes.com. Great website. You have a blog that you write as well?
Yes, I do. And I'm coming out with a book hopefully this year, if all goes well.
Great. Fantastic work. Please keep it up. Great for having you on the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and I send well-wishing to all the fathers out there.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Timothy.
Dr. Timothy Dukes from Providence joining us here on An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
As we are celebrating Father's Day week, coming up is filmmaker Dana Glaser with his amazing new documentary, The Evolution of Dad, and he on An Organic Conversation telling us more about how he was able to create a life that is meaningful and in relationship to his children. All that coming up here on An Organic Conversation. We'll take a quick break. Stay tuned.
In his body and his mind, he's a well-respected man about town, doing the best thing so conservatively. And his mother goes to meetings while his father pulls the mane.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. Please become a partner in our work by visiting marinorganic.org and by pledging your support now. Thank you.
And we're back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today's show is about celebrating fathers. It's Father's Day week. And with us is Dana Glaser from New Jersey, award-winning filmmaker and the creator of a great new documentary, The Evolution of Dad. Dana, thanks for being with us still. Were you able to hear that interview that we just had with Timothy Dukes?
You know, unfortunately, I heard you. I didn't hear him.
So we were talking about the opportunity of being a father for the father itself. We were talking that you know, in many cases, our fathers, coming from a different generation and a different time, were the breadwinners and were not quite as present to our lives as we may have wished, and now showing up for our children in a different way, really changing that cycle, changing that role, is actually an opportunity not just for the children, but for the father itself to heal that, what Timothy Dukes calls the wound, to heal that missing father in our lives. We can become our own father in that role to our children.
Sure.
Is that what you experienced too? Tell us about your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, let me just start off by saying that I really have a very special relationship with my father, and I feel very lucky to have had the time growing up that I did with him. And you know, he continues to be very involved in my life and in my kids' lives. So you know, speaking from that, he was more of a model for me more than anything. Now, speaking from his perspective, of course, he might differ if you were to be on the line here, but you know, he had his father was not as involved, and so you know he really had to step up and figure out what does it mean to be a father, because his role model was not there.
Yes.
So you know, I really applaud him for that.
How was he able to change that? Have you ever had a conversation with him about that? How he already a generation back was able to acknowledge that his dad was not as much of a role in his life as he would have wished, and actually he was able to change it. How did that come about?
Well, I think that what happened was he went to therapy with my mom, and they went and really spoke about, you know, what does it mean to be a father, and you know, and he really had to figure it out and understand, you know, what does that role mean. I think that, you know, it was interesting. I think my talking to both of my parents about this, that my father was wanted to be my friend when I was a kid. He wanted to be my friend, and that didn't work out so good. You know, so you know, my
right. Tell
my
us,
parents,
tell us more about it. What's the difference between?
Basically, had to figure out the advice that was given to my father. It was kind of funny. He had to kind of go back in the other direction a little bit. He was suggested to him that he should, you know, imagine that you're the, you know, the beer guzzling dad sits there at the, you know, he had to sort of go in the other direction to sort of try to understand, you know, what does it mean to be a dad, and you know, not just to be a friend to your son, but to also be, you know, a parental figure. So it took some working out, because he just didn't have
sure.
a role model for himself. And you know, in terms of that Cats in the Cradle song, I remember being with my grandfather, who you know I loved, and he really did try as best as he could, but you know, I remember the song playing, and we were listening to it, and afterwards I said, well, you know, what do you think? And he said, oh, it was a wonderful song, and he totally didn't get it because the song was all about him. But you know, that's generational. That's how things are sometimes, and you know, but I really do think that, you know, my father certainly is. Put a lot of effort into our relationship, and it's certainly made me a better father as a result.
Great, Mark, you had a comment there.
Well, you know, one thing that I can say, Dana, listening to your experience with your father, is I know my father grew up in like your grandfather did, and the one thing that I always got from him, even if he wasn't always emotionally available for me, is that he did love me deeply, and he showed it however he could. And whether that was, you know, trying to teach me to change my oil or holding me accountable or those types of things, that did come across to, you know, in my life, even though he wasn't around for my little league games and stuff like that.
Sure. Sure.
So, Dana, what's the greatest joy for you as a stay-at-home dad? We're celebrating Father's Day week. You said it's a time of reflection. It's not just celebrating dads, but what's your greatest joy in that?
I would call myself a work at home dad, because I do stay at home quite a bit. I also, you know, work out of my home. I teach. You know, it's interesting the whole moniker stay at home dad, because it gives a certain perspective that
yes.
you know, I think is not entirely accurate of me nor of other people. You know, and it's, but in terms of, to answer your question, you know, it's, there's something very special. I have a daughter now. Since making the film, she's now 8 months old, and, you know, there's something very special about having a daughter, as well as having, two little boys. And, you know, and in terms of what's the most special thing for me, I just love snuggling with them. I love watching movies with them. We're all kind of jammed up against each other on the couch. I love feeding my daughter at night before she goes to bed. I mean, it's just a very special thing. And you know, and what I kind of, you know, certainly have come to realize is how temporary all this stuff is. And so I really try to appreciate it as much as I can. And you know, even when sometimes, as I'm sure you both know, they can drive you nuts.
Yeah, Mark had some comments on that one, actually.
I try to temper that by, you know, by understanding that this is this time will pass, and at some certain point they'll be like, "Dad, I gotta go. I gotta go, be in my own life and go do my own adventure."
And then you'll drive them nuts a little bit.
Exactly. There's the driving nuts, but there's also being put on the spot, right? If you were not, if you didn't experience that kind of intimacy that you were describing, the kind of the most joyful moments in the role of a father, feeding your daughter or being physically intimate, snuggling with them. If you didn't have that as a son in your early years, it's something pretty new, and it can put you on a spot in a way that you might not be prepared for. Mark, did you have a thought on that?
I was just sitting there reflecting on it. It takes a lot of courage, as Timothy said. It takes a lot of courage to show up and to take, even though. To be uncomfortable in a situation, even though you shouldn't be uncomfortable in a situation when around your kids, when you haven't done something. And so it really is truly freeing when you allow yourself to just be a dad.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we are celebrating dads all over the planet today in this Father's Day week. With us, Dana Glaser, award-winning filmmaker, and the creator of The Evolution of Dad, a great new documentary, joining us here today on An Organic Conversation. Dana, if there's anything you wished you would have said to your father, or you could say, was there a moment... Dana, you're still with us? I think we lost Dana. There was just a little technical interference. We'll get him back. I know our associate producer, Gina Ristani, is dialing him up right now. Mark, is your father still alive?
No, he passed on about 5 or 7 years ago.
Is there something, the question for Dana was, is there something you wish you could say to your dad? In your case, he's no longer with us, but is there something you learned as a dad where you now, looking back, understand actually his struggle or his life or his choices better?
Absolutely. Being a father absolutely helps you to get a better understanding on how you show up as a dad, because we all can be very judgmental of our fathers, of how they showed up for us. The one thing for me is that in college, I decided I was in a psychology class, and my psychology teacher said, "Have you ever told your father that you loved him?" And I sat there
I
remember saying it when I was 6, but not when I was 18, right?
Sure.
And I walked home that day and I said, "Dad, I just wanted to say that I love you, and I'd like to make sure that we at least hug or acknowledge each other that way every day."
So
and from that moment on, we did. Every time I left the house, I gave my dad a hug, and that was tremendous. That had a tremendous impact on both of our lives.
Thanks for sharing that. Dana, you're back with us. Dana Glaser, award-winning filmmaker, calling us from New Jersey with a little bit of technical difficulties. Are we having you back?
I'm here.
Yes, great. Okay. The question was, how is there anything you wish you could say to your dad that you haven't? In your case, a question for Mark, his dad is no longer with us, and the question is, the work you're doing, has that changed your dad's understanding of the relationship he has had with his father? Meaning, is there generational healing going on that you are observing? We're actually stepping up at a father now with all the great work that is being done, including through your documentary. It actually changes generations back.
Well, I think that, you know, bringing these things to light, you know, is certainly a there's certainly a healing aspect of it, and that's, you know, a very important part of the film. And, you know, to put a magnifying glass on fatherhood has certainly made me more appreciative and aware of not just my relationship with my own kids, but also with my father. And, you know, my father was somewhat surprised to find that he was in the film. I was a little worried about that because, I didn't know how he would respond.
Sure,
to it.
Absolutely.
But it was very special after he had watched it. And, you know, I think he had some tears in his eyes because it, you know, but it was very supportive, and that, you know, I think that speaks about how he's always been for me and for my work, whether it's been about, you know, filmmaking, fatherhood, family, whatever it is. He has always been a, you know, pillar of support.
Yes.
For me, and
hey, Dana, can you tell us what kind of feedback you've gotten from the film?
From other voices, from other people who watch it?
Sure. Yes, you want feedback? Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've had at screenings, people have cried. You know, grown men have afterwards, you know, when we'd have a discussion after the screening of the film, it was very powerful stuff for people. The film is really to be a meditation on the role of fatherhood. And if you take it as such, and if you watch the film, I think it can be a very profound experience, and that's certainly what I've been told from numerous people who have watched it.
How can people find it? Where are you showing it? Or can people just go online and see it there?
The simplest way to do it is to go to my website, which is evolutionofdad.com. It's all one phrase. And there's a place to order the DVD.
The Evolution of Dad, a great new documentary from award-winning filmmaker Dana Glazer, joining us today from New Jersey. Dana, thanks so much. Keep up the fantastic work. Let's keep celebrating dads. Let's give them a space in which we can contemplate our role and our choices that we make in life, and help each other build that kind of network of understanding.
Thank you so much again for having me on your show. It's really been a pleasure.
Yeah, a pleasure on our side. Thank you, Dana.
Okay.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's
you
Day.
Too.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye.
That was great. The new documentary, The Evolution of Dad, all one word, theevolutionofdad.com. Check it out. Great trailer that kind of gives you the overview of what this film is all about, and in 2 minutes just sucks you in, sucked me in.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking forward to showing it again to my family this weekend.
We're almost out of time here on Organic Conversation, but we have the mailbag. We got lots of great comments from our listeners throughout the country and beyond. Lee and Genevieve emailed us about school lunch initiatives in her neck of the woods in California. And in that regard, looking for a little bit more leads. Many people are asking, go to Michelle Obama, letsmove.gov. Rethinking School Lunch Guide, the Center for Ecoliteracy. It's www.ecoliteracy.org. And always, of course, Chef Ann Cooper. It's chef ann.com. The Renegade Lunch Lady. Many inquiries in that sense. About organic school lunches and how we can improve the diet of our children as we are talking and celebrating Father's Day today. And then also there's a new ballot about the mandatory requirement of labeling GMOs for 2012. More information on the non-GMO project. Pam Larry sent that in. Thank you, Pam, for your comments. Please send us your comments. We love to hear from you to share at anorganicconversation.com.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer, Gina Rustani.
For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com.
You can also follow us on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you. So please send us your comments and questions to share at anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up next is Beth Greer and Your Supernatural Life. Great show. Right after this show, please stay tuned. We're your hosts, Helga Helbert.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back right here, same time, same place next week. See you then, and thanks again for being part of An Organic Conversation.
Bye-bye.
I'm so in love with honey, everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be alright. Seems as though a month ago I was beta guy, never got high. Oh, was a sorry guy. But now I smile, a face, a girl that shares my name. Now I'm through with the game. This boy will never be the same.